since they've been 19 years old. I'm not going to say anything else. So Cheryl, can you come up and introduce the speaker, please? Thank you.
I'm an addict, and my name is Cheryl. And I want to introduce the speaker tonight. She is a wonderful woman in Narcotics Anonymous. She introduced me to this program. For a year before I got here, she would come to my house, and she would bring me pamphlets. And I would be gambling. And I would say to her, every time she would come to my house, she was like, you need to come to the meeting. And I would be like, you go and get the information and bring it back. And she did. And then in 1991, I got enough courage to walk up into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting through detox. And she became my sponsor, my friend, my companion. She is the woman in Narcotics Anonymous that helped me. My life became noticeable to me. Through the literature, she helped bring my life alive. Through the literature, she helped me grow up. She pulled me off her gurneys. We sponsor each other. We've been on this journey for a very long time together. I can't do it without her. If you want to hear a message, you're about to get a message. Let me introduce to you my friend, my companion, my sponsor, Veronica F.
I'm Veronica. And I am, I'm, it's been a while since something's been sitting in my face like this, so. I'm an addict and I'm Veronica. And I am, I'm really grateful to be standing up here. And I have been knowing Cheryl since I've been 19 years old. I've known her, I've known her family, I know her husband. Her and her husband is one of my bestest friends. But I want to get right to it. My spirit is moved, and I thank you, Hackner. Hackner! Hackner! I do, I thank you, Hackner, for having me. So let's get started. I don't want to be up here long, you know. I want to say that I don't take this speaking lightly. I'm a literature baby. I'm from Buffalo, New York. September 16, 1987 is the day that I got clean. I have 31 years in this process. And there's no other important date in my life but my clean date. If I don't have my clean date, nothing else matters. So I'm a no matter what. I believe that the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting. Because I believe that we can only keep what we have, old timers, by giving it away. But I also believe that this literature, as we grow in this program, moves with us. And I also believe that the old timer need to be fed as well. So real quick, let me talk to the new baby. There's a piece of literature I want to tell you for the new baby. It's called The Added Gift, and it's one of my favorite readings for the new baby. It's in it just for the day. And new baby, where's the new baby? Where's the new person? There you go. We can't live without you. We need you. And one of the most important messages, and guess what? We promise you that you never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, 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 never have to use again. Our experience, we have experience, strength, and hope to share with you. We are here as examples, as a paradigm of, guess what? You don't never, ever have to use a substance ever again. And thinking of alcohol as different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. You got to watch that stuff. The added gift is just for today reading. And I thank you, Hackner, for believing in me and wanting to help me in my recovery. Because sometimes when you stay around a while, abstinent from drugs, you're forced to face powerlessness and unmanageability in other areas. You're forced to. That's in the step working guide. The added gift, just for the day. We see it happening amongst us every day. The miraculous turnabout is evidence of this. Basic text, page 49. We watch them walk into their first meeting defeated. Listen, their spirits broken. Their suffering is obvious. And their desire for help is even more apparent. They collect a welcome check. And they go back to their seats, shaken by their efforts. Where's the person with a day? Stand them up. Put them on their feet. They done stood on their feet. Stand them up. Yeah, welcome. Where's the person with less than 30 days? Stand them up. Welcome. We know what it takes. We know. Because our whole life and thinking was sending in drugs in one form or another. The getting, listen, new baby, the getting, the using, and finding ways and means to get more. Guess what we did? We lived to use. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We know what it takes for you to stand here today. We applaud you. Thank you, sir. And so look, and because of this atmosphere of recovery, like we create this atmosphere. The literature talks about this here. The literature says there's a spirit and an energy that's felt in our meetings. Y'all remember that spirit and energy you felt? Remember? Like, it didn't really matter what they was talking about. You just felt that freedom, like finally. Like it says there's a spirit and an energy that's felt in our meetings. And that this will be the newcomer's first concept of the higher
power. And the second step says this here. The second step talks about being confronted with the evidence. The second step is where the newer member is confronted. And do you know what a confrontation looks like? When it's all up in your face and it's backing you up and it's taken away from your belief systems. So we see them again. And they come back because of the atmosphere. They come back from that feeling that can't adequately be explained in words, but they get me. They kind of understand. They may not have yet heard their story, but the feeling, the created atmosphere that's felt in our meetings, get the newer baby to come back. We see them again, and they seem a little more comfortable. They found a sponsor and are attending meetings every night. They still won't meet our glances, says. So they come in, they're not yet ready to look at us, but they hear. And we are responsible for the created atmosphere of recovery for them. Listen, don't step off your square, because we're going to lose them. This literature is wonderful. I welcome you to read it. They still won't meet our glance, but they nod their heads in recognition as we share. And let me say this, I got to say it. And I'm a little older now, so I'm not afraid to say it. Watch what you're saying in the Narcotics Anonymous meetings. If you don't yet know our language, that's good. That's fine. But we are a fellowship in our own right. And when you're in Narcotics Anonymous, we have a clear and concise message of Narcotics Anonymous. And we get it. We get that the newer members come from different places, from facilities, and they're learning. And so we're not going to shut them down. But we will correct you. We have to. It's our responsibility. We never want to dilute this message. We don't want to never let our message fall to the wayside. Our message is hope. The promise of freedom. That addict, any addict, could stop using drugs. Man, that's the most important thing we've ever done. And that's the one thing that you better make sure that you keep doing. That any addict could stop using drugs. Clap. We don't want to minimize not using drugs. I know it's old time. We done got into some other stuff. Our message is hope. For us not to use drugs one day at a time is a miracle. We have a relationship with drugs. Drugs trump any relationship in my life. I love my mother. I love my father. But I couldn't care when I was under the influence of drugs. They had to get done. They had to get it. So for me, not to smoke crack, I didn't tell you what I did, right? Because a newcomer needs to hear our story too. So, I'm a military woman, and I served in the Marine Corps, thank you. And I come from New York City, right? So, real quick, so I want to get to it. So, started using drugs, all of that kind of stuff, right? And eventually, my drug of choice became crack cocaine. When I started smoking crack cocaine, that's when I crossed that line. When I started smoking crack cocaine, I couldn't stop smoking crack cocaine. Anybody identifying with me? Right. Yeah. Tell me, man. And so, what happened was, so I went inside of institutions and jails and stuff like that, right? And so this last time I went, I had an appointment because I used abortion as birth control. I don't know about you, but when I was using it, I didn't really, you know, follow through with appointments and jobs and stuff like that. So I was walking up the hill in New York City, and I was pregnant once again, and I had an appointment to get an abortion, right? But it was either make the appointment or miss the lick. So something in my mind said, have the baby, because the getting the lick was more important. And so I went into a treatment facility September 16, 1987. And on Christmas Day, I had my son. Christmas Day in 1987, I had my son. But although I had my son, he gave birth to me. Don't never let nobody say you can't get clean for anything else but yourself. Don't never let nobody tell you that you can't get clean for anything else but yourself. You can't stay clean for anyone but you. But whatever gets you clean, whatever gets you clean, hold on to it. And let that whatever it is drag you around. But don't you use whatever that power is that gets you clean, you hold on to it. So my son gave birth to me. And I'm 31 years clean, and my son is 31 years old. Yeah. So listen, I stayed long enough to find out what happened. And what I found out was this here. That I had more than a drug problem. I found out, and it was a hard find too, because I always wanted to get it figured out way before I used the drugs. There was a problem, and I know you guys heard it before, and you've seen it before, and you know it for yourself, that there was a problem with me way before I took my first drug. I had an inability to stop something that I liked as a child. I liked it so much that I was willing to take the punishment. So I stayed long enough to find out what was really going on with me. Right? Called the disease of addiction. And I'm not trying to be deep, I'm just trying to let you know that you better realize, we got to realize, like, what really makes V tick. Because what's appropriate in one phase of recovery is not going to be appropriate for the next. So while I'm sitting in the meeting in my 30, 60, 90 state, trying not to use drugs one day at a time, that's appropriate. But when I'm 20 years later, and I'm still talking about, as long as I don't use no drugs, that's a problem. It says this here, it says, what makes us addicts is the disease of addiction, not the drugs. Not our behavior, but our disease. There's something within us that makes us unable to control the use of drugs. The same something also makes us prone to obsession and compulsion in other areas of our life. How can we tell when our disease is active? When we find ourselves trapped. Cling. Newcomer, hold on. If you're sitting by a newcomer, hold on, because I got to talk to us. Got to say what happens later on in recovery with us. I got to tell you that no matter what, we still don't use. And that's appropriate for every phase of recovery. We don't use no drugs, no alcohol, no movement and mind altering chemicals. No matter what, we don't use. Guess what? Our status will change. Stuff is going to happen to us. We don't have to use no drugs. Relapse is not a requirement. It can and does happen. I was talking to somebody today about the emotional lapse, old timer. That emotional lapse that happens to us, right? When we find ourselves trapped in obsessive, compulsive, self-centered routines. The routine now. It's not even a pattern of behavior no more. It's a routine. I got areas in my life that, listen, that experience self-centered routines, right? And they're totally self-driven. Let me tell you something. So I got married in this process. I got married in recovery. And I love George Freeman. His name is George Freeman. I met him here. Fell in love here. I didn't really like him at first, but he had what I needed. So he's all right, but he had what I needed. So I kind of hung out with him a while. He had a car, came and picked me and my son up, and he did all that good stuff, and it's what I needed. And he had a job and all of that good stuff. And we got married. And he was one of the people in the program, one of the guys in the program, like you guys, like he loved this program. And he didn't waver. He stood on his square in his program. And at 25, and I don't know no other man in his fellowship. I didn't, that's not my story. And it doesn't have to be my story for me to stay here. And then he got sick. And then we signed the paperwork, the DNR. You know what I'm talking about? We signed the DNR and stuff. And we knew and we came to terms with that the man was going to die. And I wanted a quality of life with him. So for about 4 months, I had a quality of life back from a man that his body was ravaged with pain. Then he died. And I knew I was okay, but I don't know about how being in this fellowship without George. So I had to make another decision. I'm talking about when your status changed. when everything you know changes. So he's my husband. We brought the light together. We have children. We have a home. His clean date was September 12th. Mine is the 16th. We got, like, that was my guy, my friend. You got any relationship? Anybody love your guy like that? Your girl like that? Like we was friends. And let me talk about that life of mine for a minute. Like, so in his latter, the latter stage of his life, he was like never home because he was always being hospitalized. And so something in me, you know, I was grateful that I was a woman with principles. I was grateful that I was a wife and not a girlfriend. And that I took that very, very seriously. It meant something to me because he was my friend. And friends don't betray friends. So I didn't sleep around on my husband, even though nothing was happening. That's some good shit. But I think the hardest part was when, like, I had to make another decision to live without half of me. I had to, like, redecide to live. Again, know if you understand that. But when you lose somebody, man, and you got to make another decision to live without them, okay. So I decided to live without him. And I fucked it up. Fucked it up. Yeah. That thing was tough. Being without George Freeman. Because he was my cover light. So I had to go home at certain times. I wasn't single. So I had to cook dinner. Right, and I had to do laundry, and I had to fuss, I had to get into arguments, we had to make arrangements, we, you know, who driving, who where, let me sign off on car notes and shit like that. Like, I had that stuff to do with him, right, and he wasn't here, and I'm left to my own devices. So you got to know what it's like to have a cover, to have someone you're accountable to. I love being a wife. And I don't know what the game is like no more, so I haven't been with nobody in 5 years. I ain't been with nobody. Because I don't know how to be a girlfriend. And I think you got to be a girlfriend before you be a wife. I think. So guess what? I'm still here. And no matter what, I didn't use no dope. Tell you what it's like to run around here with all this clean time untreated. Old timer, stand up. Somebody with 20 or more, stand up for me. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Stand them up. Tell you something. We have what we call old timer. It's in the journey continues. It's called the pedestal. Who's experienced being on the pedestal? Come on, there ain't no shame in it. Whether they had three years or 30 years, we recall members who had the most time when we got clean. We may not have liked them, but they were still important to us. We depend on those with more clean time to teach us and energize our recovery, but eventually we find that we are standing where they once did. We got something in our literature called growing pains. And I'm saying that to say this. When I found out that I had, that drugs was not my problem, there's this something else. It says, the things that we old timers won't talk about, we know the newcomers get it, but how I'm gonna tell you about my substitutes? How I'm gonna talk to you with all my clean time about the inability to stop once starting with all this clean time? How am I gonna tell you that I'm slowly and surely decaying away? The literature talks about the emotional, physical, and mental decay that's happening in our lives. And you know what decay looks like, right? It's a slowly rotting away process that's not apparent on the outside. It doesn't look like it. I don't look like I'm decaying. But it's a personal, painful experience. And I'll describe it to you. It's like a tooth. Because I got a toothache. When I got a toothache and I looked in my mouth, I couldn't tell which one it was because none of my teeth looked like they should be hurting. But it was hurting so bad, I went to the dentist. And when I went to the dentist, they looked around with that thing. Then they put that thing, the x-ray. And then they held it up on that x-ray machine. And they was able to show me. They said, there it is. That spot right there. That thing right there. Old timer. That thing right there. I know it don't look like it out here, but old timer. If you take that pain, listen, follow me. If you take that pain, that ache, you take the ache that don't look like it, that don't look like it because of your house and your good sharing ass. It don't look like it. It don't look like it. Because of your prestige. We got prestige and that's okay. It just need not divert us. We got prestige. That's fine. We have property. That's fine, old timer. We have money. That's great. We should. But we still aching. Yo, let's talk about that. We still aching on the inside. So if you take that ache to the sponsor, and your sponsor has the ability to take the program, to take some of this literature, and to take some of the experience, strength, and hope, and say to you, there it is. Yeah, right? So what happens, listen, follow me. Everybody can't stay because this level of sharing, this level of honesty. So when I went to the dentist and he said, there it is, right there. This is where the pain is at. You have an infection, right? You have an infection. He said, but we don't have to remove the tooth. still good. We could work with it. We could leave it there. But we have to treat it as an infection. This is nothing, it's because it's from the inside. So I know you wanna get rid of the pain immediately. So we're not gonna be able to do a painkiller. So sponsor, could you just help me put them out? Could you, right? And sponsors who have the work and knowledge and experience, strength, and hope don't get involved in outside issues. They don't have no advice for us in our raggedy-ass relationships. So the dentist said, all right, Veronica, listen. I want you to take this. It's called amoxicillin. When you take this amoxicillin, I need you to take it till it's finished. I need you to take it 3 times a day till it's finished, Veronica. Okay, all right, give it to me, because I'm in a lot of pain. And our literature, Who's an Addict, talks about that we want to stop long enough just for the pain to stop, and then go right back. And that we revert right back to our sickest behaviors without the drug. So I took it, and I did what she said. And I took the antibiotic for about 3 or 4 days. And the pain stopped. I felt better. Yo, listen. I could chew on that side. I could use it again. I was back, baby. I was able to get it done again, right? It wasn't hurting no more. And I was good. So I didn't follow through. Says we forget. So I stopped taking it. And our disease always resurfaced. Yeah. So let me tell you about this. It's very important to follow through with the plan. It's very important for you and us to get with a sponsor that can carry us through with a plan, right? And when we get the plan, we need to follow through with it, even when we're not hurting anymore. Right? So let me tell you what happened. Remember I said I got it fucked up, right? Yeah. I get 2 curses on every one of my speaking games. I curse twice, right? So this is what happens. So I started doing stuff and running into stuff that I was embarrassed about. I started practicing self-centered routines in my grief and depression and inability. Look, I had to go back to the first step where it says, not only do I admit powerlessness, but in my inability to manage my own life. But the inability to manage my own life, I had to then admit that again. Old timers, we gotta admit that part again. We all, listen, running into the inability once again with all of this time, we running back into ourselves, right? And so the literature says, and I'm going to tell you why, the literature says that a lot of us, it's in the journey, abort this process. It says that this is a critical time for us, and what happens, it says, when we cannot blame anyone or anything for what's going on right now. That we abort this process. And the process being aborted does not necessarily mean using drugs again. It means what it looks like for us is that, guess what? We can show up to the meetings, but we show up with indifference and intolerance. We don't show up no longer creating an atmosphere of recovery. We no longer show up being a part of the spirit and energy that's felt. We abort this process. We are disconnected. I'm saying us. When we start practicing these behaviors that we believe we should be, that we should be practicing, because we forget or we think we're above the disease called addiction and that it will show up later on in recovery. And the same process that happened early in recovery can happen now. Old timer. Where they at again? Just raise your hand real quick. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Listen. Intuition is our worst enemy right now. Intuition simply means you do what you know. You do what you do, right? First Step says some NA members feel their way through the first step by intuition. So I find myself in a casino. Come on, baby, right? Yo, look, let's talk. Find myself in the casino, finding ways and means. And intuition says, don't use none of this alcohol shit they're giving out. Don't use no drugs. That's intuition. And the literature says that the disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful, it'll have us saying shit like, that was the third curse, it'll have us saying stuff like, but nothing. We start comparing what's going on right now, how the disease is manifesting itself right now. Long as we don't do that nothing right now could be as bad as that we start comparing right now, as long as I don't do that, so the intuition does, as long as I don't use no drugs, nothing could be as bad as that. Yo, you living clean, you got clean time living dirty. I'm saying my story. And dirty doesn't mean I don't have to be manipulating nobody. That's not my kind of dirt. But dirt is dirt. That's not my dirt. I don't sleep around with men. I don't rob people. I don't use drugs. I don't hurt people. That's not my dirt. My dirt is that I'm very self-destructive. That I harm my own spirit. That I be in mental and emotional decay. With the inability to mental and emotional decay, grab my voice. And I'm not able to share in the meetings because I'm the person with the most clean time. And I'm the sponsor. And I'm the person that's looked to be the paradigm of hope. So how do I share in the meetings that I just came back from active addiction clean? That I just came back. You know what that is? A comeback from active addiction, the inability to stop once starting. The obsessive thought, I can't stop thinking about it. Clean. The fuck? Yo, okay, look. So some NA members feel their way through the first step by intuition. Others choose to work step one in a more systematic fashion. Let me say this here. So, what happens is that we begin to show up and we take a seat with our intuition. And we show up with our clean time. And let me tell you something, ain't nobody gonna check us. Listen, because we the people with the information. We the people speaking at the podiums. So we're not getting the help we desperately need. Right? So look, ain't nobody gonna check our plug. You know what the plug look like, right? Plug look like this. Hang in here. The plug look like this, old timer. Like if this mic don't work. Remember he said check 1 2 1 2? Remember he said that? If it didn't 1 2, he wasn't gonna take this whole system and throw it out. No, he wasn't gonna do that because it's value in this. What he gonna do is he gonna try to place, trace, and erase and figure it out. He's gonna look and he gonna search and he gonna take it and he gonna go right to the source. And he's going to check the plug. And he's going to see that it actually was just sitting in a socket. It wasn't plugged in. Old timer, were we just sitting in a socket? Dangerous. And nobody never knows. Take a person with courage to plug you in, to check your plug, to put you back in, to not let us die. We got to show up to the meetings with humility. We got to begin again to ask for help. Anybody on that page with me? Yeah. What does that look like? It says this here. It says, so others choose to work this step in a more systematic fashion. What does systematic look like? Old timers, we've been now hanging out so long in these sockets. When someone plugs us in, we get a resentment. When help come that knows our true value, that have hung around us long enough when we was plugged into this shit, when it was happening, when we was part of this atmosphere, when we was part of creating the spirit and energy, when we was part of this tapestry of recovery, old timer. Remember them days when gratitude spoke? When we cared and we shared the NA way, not when we shut up because our clean time done backed us into a corner we can't come out of now. My clean time will keep me sick. I'm telling the truth. So give yourself a break. says Clean Time speaks for itself. There are no celebrities in Narcotics Anonymous. Tell you what happened. I was in grade school. And I had a teacher. And her name was Miss McGackleseed. And when Miss McGackleseed came in the classroom, you kind of knew what to do. You know about that teacher, right? You fold your hands, you sit up straight, write what's on the board, and no playing. Take that gum out your mouth and pay attention. And you did it because you knew the consequences, right? So Ms. McGackleseed messed around one day and told us that she wasn't going to be there the next day. And that Ms. Calandra was going to come. And Ms. McGackleseed told us that whatever Ms. Calandra told us to do, that we had to do. So next day, in walks Ms. Calandra. And we had already decided that we weren't going to do what the fuck she said. So Ms. Calandra said, write what's on the board, sit up, take the gum out your mouth, and this is what's going to happen. She was the substitute teacher. What we didn't realize, that the substitute had just as much power. That the substitutes have just as much power, and we face the same level of consequences, if not more, if we try to play with these substitutes. And we believe in that the substitute, and we're comparing it to the drug. And we messing around with the substitutes. You know what I mean by substitutes? I know what it feels like to come back from hanging out with a substitute. With all my clean time. Anybody got substitutes? Put them up. Come on, man. Yeah, man. Still trying to find relief from the substitute. Still trying to find relief from the substitute. Still haven't found the ability to put it down once you started it again, right? Right? And then it says we go back time and time again to a particular drug or some substitute. Share this and I'm gonna get out of here, y'all. Now, thank y'all. Fourth step. Talks about these tentacles. Now we got tentacles. Now we got these tentacles. Watch them. Watch these tentacles. Watch them. Says these tentacles spread themselves so far out through our lives, and that they're bred. They come from the disease called addiction that is deadly in its nature. And it says these tentacles spread themselves so far throughout our life that no area is left untouched. All right? So what happens when I find myself with the inability to tell you guys, because now I'm on a pedestal. What do I do? When the disease of addiction, that's cunning in all of its ways, has me believing I'm above the sharing experience now. You're not gonna understand, like, see, that's that shit. That's that separate stuff. That's that, we have a part in here called setting ourselves apart. That's that thing when we cut ourselves off from the power of the group. Then we start seeing differences. Then we start making it where we're different from people. And now we're not a part of the tapestry anymore. Listen, dangerous. Yeah, I'm talking to the people with time because guess what? Listen, I got a lot of time behind me. I don't have that much left in front of me. So I'm not afraid of nobody. I believe that I'm responsible for this message. I believe that this message is going to continue to help me as long as I'm able to share and hear, right? So now what I do now, and you gotta. You don't gotta like me. You don't have to like me, but you have to love me. You gotta love me. So when I share with you what's going on, listen, I don't want to share cute. I want to tell you what I'm doing. You can't hear what I'm doing. I want to tell you exactly the exact nature and what I'm doing. You better say it. Stop making it cute. So look, I come to the meeting now because I go to meetings. I say a prayer and I don't pick up no drugs. And I'm now sharing freely about putting other areas down again. How I'm trying to get 2 days. I'm trying to get 2 days clean. Some of us, if we're talking about other areas, we all be standing up as a newer member. Every one of us will be on our feet getting a blue book. So when I take my seat now, I was talking to Cam, and Cammy pulled me in here. And I looked around, and when no one was in here, it was just me and Cam and Cheryl. And the spirit came in the room, and it spoke to us. Now, I'm not talking about no religion, trust me. I'm talking about a true spirit of this program that resonates in our spirit. This disease and messing around with it clean will humble you. You will not have no place in your life for judgment of another person. You will really have what this program gives us, the wordless language called empathy. You will experience compassion. You will get to understand why he did what he did clean. You will begin to be able to give a simple love and hug that rings true, clean. You will begin to be able to get past all of your different personalities, clean. You will be able to let the disease of addiction fall to the wayside. Once you come to terms with what you will do as a person with time. And the reason why I'm talking like that, new member, guess what? I got to tell you something. As powerful as our program is, and with the God in this program, there's still something about a reservation. Still something about having a reservation 30-something years later and using dope again is the option. That's disturbing to us. That some people chose to do it again. that's disturbing to me. So I said, fuck that fight. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming to get back what's mine. I'm coming back to get the freedom of sharing what's really going on. They said we share the exact nature. They say that we stand face to face with what our lives have become. That we stand face to face with it once again. Our addiction finally brings us to a place where we can no longer deny the nature of our problem. All the lies, all the rationalization, all the illusion fall away as we stand face to face with what our lives have become. We realize we've been living without hope. Yeah. Though it may seem that all is lost when we find ourselves in this state, the truth is that we must pass through this place before we can embark upon a journey of recovery. So I'm taking all my stuff and I'm coming through. I'm not going around it. I'm not speaking to certain friends. I'm not talking to certain people. Anybody that's willing to listen, guess what? I need help. With 30-something years, I need help. Don't you speak? I need help. I got your CD from last year. I need help. I heard you speaking. I need help. Ain't you for? I need help. Don't you spot? I need help. 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 Remember that? Remember the gift of desperation? I'm out, and I'm kind of grateful that I was able to stay here long enough. To run into the disease called addiction and know that that's what this program was built for. That treatment centers in all them places is for the drugs and alcohol. This program works on a person that suffers with the disease called addiction. Yeah. So I'm here. And guess what I believe? This Monday coming up, I'll get 32 years, right? So I'm glad. I'm excited. And I'm glad I ain't used no drugs. And I know I don't have to. But I'm getting them other areas of my life together. And I ain't afraid of nobody. So I need help. And I love y'all. Thank you.